today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, updates on the coronavirus. You may be able to apply for your real ID online soon. And United Airlines follows JetBlue to the Let's Goose Travelers a Little More on Baggage Fees bin. Details next.
Mark has been in Hawaii traveling with Sports Leisure Vacations Group this past week, and in our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, he shares his recommendations on places to go, things to see, where to dine, and maybe even a place or two to stay in the islands.
What if you could travel around the world, staying in other people's homes and enjoying different cultures? We have found a couple that does just that. Meet our friends, the House Sitters, at 3:35.
And finally, there's a new show on the Travel Channel, Haunting in the Heartland, and you'll have a chance to meet the host of the program coming up at 3:50.
Here to make you a smarter traveler. Thank you for joining us. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska, I go north to Russia's own.
Oh, I was born an ambling man.
I come from a land of love.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks.
With the show.
Welcome everyone to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFBK. As always, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Your host, Mark Hoffman, over the pond. Tom Romano stuck in the studio. Mark, how's it going over there in Hawaii? Are all your travelers having a swell time? What you been doing?
God, that sounds like just the most tragic introduction in history. You know, Mark over the pond in Hawaii and Tom stuck in the studio. For those of you who want to make donations to Tom stuck in the studio.
Hey, I would have gone along, but I had to go to Disneyland. And to Vegas with the family. We had a great time. Disneyland was pretty busy. There's that new Star Wars land, and the Rise of the Resistance ride has just opened up, and that's the one where you got to be in the park before 8 a.m. You know, in fact, you got best thing is to be in before 7, and at exactly 8 a.m., tens of thousands of people all gathered in the front of the park have their smart devices out, and at exactly 8 o'clock, you push a button and see whether you're going to get a lottery number to ride the ride. And we had three phones going, and so you'll know the phone that got through was on, I think it was on Metro, and we did get in, and we did see it, and I can't even talk about it because it is so friggin' awesome and like nothing you've ever experienced. It is totally unique. It's a completely immersive kind of an experience. You know how a lot of times when you ride rides like Peter Pan or whatever it is, you have to use your imagination to that you're flying over the city in this little plastic boat, right?
Small world.
Same thing, you know. But and even ones that are more elaborate like Indiana Jones, but this particular ride does all. I mean, it takes care of your imagination. I mean, it's so real. It's unbelievable. Anyway, enough of that. Tell me, what's going on over there?
Well, and listen, the folks who are listening here and listening to you talk about stuff at Disneyland, you have to know that this is Mr. Disneyland here. Tom is the kid that never grew up when it comes to Disneyland, so you would be wise to adhere to his. So let me ask you this. So everybody find, they all log in to find out if they're going to get one of the, I get some kind of a lottery for tickets.
Right.
So some people who have paid to get into the park don't get into this particular attraction.
That is exactly right. And in exactly 8 o'clock when everybody logs in, you hear a big roar of happiness and a big roar of disappointment simultaneously. Not something you want to hear. But yeah, that's pretty much it. And then once they're gone, they're gone. The only thing you can do is come back the next day. And get in line at 6:30, get in the gate at 7, stand around for an hour waiting to push your phone. So I don't know if it's ever going to change. For those, like I say, that are able to get in, it's a wonderful thing. For those that don't, I'm sure it's heavily disappointing. But fortunately, Disney at the Disney Park and at California Adventure, there's still a ton of fun things to do. This isn't the only ride. It's just the newest and greatest. And in some ways, it will, you know, it overshadows the technology of all the other rides that after it. It's kind of like everything else is kind of disappointing. I don't know if this is really a good idea. You
talking
know?
About reporting on something and not telling us anything.
Yeah.
Boy, you're doing a good job of keeping the secret. I'm not a huge Disneyland fan, but now you've got me kind of feeling like that maybe I should get down there and check this out.
Well, if it's anybody that you're even vaguely interested in, it's Zip It. You know, pretty much. You know, my son-in-law, he's a huge Star Wars fan, and he's huge on social media, and he just had to stay away from it. And whenever you would standing a line or wherever you were, and you started to hear people talk about it, he would walk away because you just don't want to spoil it. You want it to be pure. You want it to be first time. You really don't need any. You don't want that advanced information. So I'm keeping it.
There you
that.
Have it, right from the mouth of the kid that never grew up. Tis time to get down to Disneyland. We best get rolling on to the travel news, because if we don't, we're gonna run out of time.
Okay, here. Let's do it. Let's bring on Huey, and then let's do the travel news, which is something we do at the top of every Travel Guys radio show. Brought to you by Mark. Mark.
Hey, remember a couple of weeks ago we told you that JetBlue had inched up its baggage fees by $5. And at the time, we speculated that it would be only a matter of weeks or maybe perhaps days before the other carriers fell into line. And indeed, United Airlines announced on Friday that they are raising their baggage fees. So the first bag now, instead of being $30, will be $35, and the second bag will go from $40 to $45. The increase takes effect on March the 6th for tickets purchased before February 21st, though. Your baggage fees remain the same. So if you bought your United ticket after February the 21st, a couple of days ago, starting on March the 6th, you're going to pay a little bit more for baggage. You're already going to pay a little bit more on JetBlue. Expect American and Delta to be right behind on this sometime in the next week or two. Remember, this is the way the airlines make money. For years and years and years and years, those of you who are new to travel, the airlines really struggled with making money because pricing was competitive and they were having a hard time really eking out a profit because the marketplace was protecting consumers. Then along came baggage fees. And by golly, baggage fees are brought in one for American Airlines last year. They brought in $1.2 billion. United was almost a billion. Delta, $788 million. So you can see that these baggage fees have, in essence, become the way that airlines make money. So you are going to pay more money for bags on United soon, and also more money on JetBlue. Wait for the rest of them to come around. It's just, you know, Tom, it's amazing how, what really amazes me is that we pay for the baggage, and then when we get to the other end, we wait, particularly with United, has really dismal baggage delivery record in Sacramento. And you sit there and you wait 20 minutes, you wait 25 minutes, you wait 30 minutes for your suitcases.
Really?
And you think, I paid for this service.
Mm-hmm.
How come you couldn't hire enough people to get my bag to me in a reasonable amount of time, especially considering the fact that I paid you for this service?
Well,
anyway,
here's the thing. You're first class most of the time, right?
Okay. No, I'm first class if I get bumped up to first class on an up. You know, if I get lucky on an upgrade.
Well, I've discovered that those that get off the plane early have to wait longer. If you're stuck in the back, by the time you finally get off, they've got the luggage on the cart, and your chances of getting it closer to the time that you arrive at the baggage claim area is not quite the wait.
So what you do? So what you're saying is, you're either, if you get off the plane early, you'll wait for your bags downstairs, and if you get off the plane late, your bags will already. Someday I'm going to master. You know, there are lots of guys who travel and ladies who travel without having to check a bag. But in this 3.4 ounce world and stuff like that, it seems like I'm forever having something that's, you know, I need to put in my suitcase that is too large to put in the carry-on or anything like that.
I know.
So,
yeah, there you go.
Anyways, it's grab your ankles time on the baggage charges at airports. Let's talk a little bit about the coronavirus. This is it's starting to impact the travel world perhaps a little bit more. Many people are kind of taking a wait-and-see attitude. Travel Weekly polled 300 travel advisors, found that nearly two-thirds of them had had clients cancel trips because of coronavirus fears. Almost half of those people who were canceling said the trips were outside of Asia, where the virus isn't really an issue yet, but folks are just are weary and afraid. And so, you know, as we talked about on this program before, you have cancellation in protection or cancellation insurance when you're traveling. Remember that you can't just tell the insurance company that's underwriting your policy, well, gee, you know, I feel unsafe, so I can't go. You have to be unsafe. So it's kind of a tricky situation there. And I think that's frankly why, Tom, some people are deciding, well, you know what, I'm just going to wait till this blows over and try to go next year. But so far, the statistics prove for themselves, getting the regular flu, you have a much better chance of getting the annual flu that goes around and becoming ill and having it perhaps go even further than this virus so far. But we will keep an eye on it. The risk of being infected is low in many countries, say international health regulations folks, but we will keep an eye on it here. It does say that folks are starting to cancel some of their tours, and travel agents, travel advisors are reporting that some people are putting off travel. Also, some of the cruise lines are starting to reroute ships. Norwegian Cruise Lines has canceled some Asian sailings, and a number of other cruise lines, including Oceania and Regent, have rerouted. So if you have a cruise, you're scheduled to go on a cruise in the next few months that includes Asian ports, it's time to get online or get on the phone and talk to your cruise company and see what their plan B is, especially if you do it now, because you may still have the luxury of having an option to cancel without penalty if you do things. So do your homework as early as you can. Sound like good advice?
Very good advice. Very good advice. You know what? It's getting to the point where I can't remember when I've traveled that I didn't get sick, or family members. It's, you know, I don't know what, regardless of what virus it is, it just goes with traveling, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's yeah, when you travel, the creepy crawlies sometimes tend to follow you around a little bit. All right, let's talk a little bit about Real ID here. We mentioned this last week. Apparently, federal officials are becoming increasingly concerned that everybody is going to be able to get their Real ID in time, or that there's going to be a huge crush when we get close to that October deadline, and many people are going to find themselves with travel plans and unable to travel. I think we're in the process of seeing an online sort of application process. A few states have already started working on it. It's not available in California yet. In California, you can still go online, fill out the application, get your documents ready, but you will still have to visit a DMV office. So we will keep you posted. If you're somebody who is a foot dragger, drag your feet a couple more weeks here and see if a little bit easier plan doesn't come up. But if you already have your appointment, I would recommend that you go ahead and go to DMV and get your Real ID in process. Okay, have you been following the thing where the lady was sitting on the Delta flight, she put her seat back, and the guy behind her started banging on her seat constantly?
Yeah. I tried that on my last flight. It didn't dig. It crossed my mind. Absolutely. What's the latest on that?
Well, and just as a little bit of backstory for people who don't know, guy's sitting in the very back row of the plane, so he can't recline his seat. The lady in front of him decides to recline her seat a couple inches. He claims that it spilled his drink, and so he started, banging on her seat consistently, continually throughout the rest of the flight. She recorded it on her cell phone. So you can see this online. If you go to travelguysradio.com, you can see the actual offending incident. She is now claiming that she was assaulted on the plane, that what this gentleman did, in essence, qualifies as assault. So she is now threatening to sue. The Delta CEO has weighed in. Remember that this was an American flight, not a Delta flight, but the Delta CEO has weighed in, and he says you should ask first when it comes to reclining your airline seat, the full 2 inches that Delta now allows you to tilt back. I'm wondering how often the CEO of the airline actually flies in coach, but never mind, that's probably a whole different story and what business it is of his. But nonetheless. And we have a story online here because I am in the islands. We're going to talk a little bit later after the break here about some tips. And there's a wonderful story on CNN travel this week. Have visitors finally overstayed their welcome in Hawaii? If you're thinking of coming to the islands, I recommend that you go to travelguysradio.com and take a read. It's kind of interesting. And that is your travel news for today.
And as Mark mentioned, we'll have recommendations of places to go, things to see, where to dine, maybe even a place or two to stay when you visit the islands. And that's coming up next here on The Travel Guys.
Hold on to me as we go.
We're back. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the travel and entertainment guys here on KFBK, brought to you as always by Sports Leisure Vacations. And back to the islands with Mark Hoffman with some great recommendations on places to stay, things to do, etc., etc. Mark, what do you have for us?
Well, Tom, we've bebopped around on three islands on this trip, the Big Island of Hawaii, where you'll find the volcanoes, Kauai, which is my favorite place maybe in the entire world, and a little short stay on Oahu. Let me give folks a few hints. These are my personal opinions and somewhat based on the group of folks that I'm traveling with who have offered some input. On the Big Island, there's an older hotel in Kailua Kona, right in the middle of town with an awesome location, a great luau in the evening. And the opportunity, you really can walk to a lot of places. Heck, you almost wouldn't need a rental car if you weren't leaving town. That's the King Kamehameha Hotel. It's on some very historic property. King Kamehameha was kind of the, if I could make a comparison, the George Washington of the islands. He was one of the early great leaders here in the islands of Hawaii. And the hotel is named after him. They do a luau there. It's really a very mid-range sort of hotel. It's not a huge resort. It's not particularly fancy. It's just a solid three-diamond courtyard hotel with an awesome location on the Big Island in Kailua Kona. In Kauai, we stayed at the Sheraton. Now, this used to be, and it's in the town of Kapaa. The Sheraton used to be a courtyard by Marriott itself. They spent about a year upgrading it, have done a terrific job. It sits right on the waterfront, so if you're looking for something where the beach is right outside your door, this is it. And if you get a ground floor room, you can open the door in the morning and walk right out to the beach and sit and enjoy the sunrise or a yoga class on the beach in the morning. They really have done an excellent job in redoing this hotel. And while the prices have crept up somewhat as the brand went from a courtyard to a Sheraton, it still is a wonderful place to stay. Traffic on Kauai is a little bit of an issue, so make sure if you come here that you allow yourself plenty of time. And finally, to wrap up the last of the accommodations on this trip that we stayed on, in downtown Waikiki, we picked out a Hilton Garden Inn, trying to find something that was just moderately priced that would give us a good location to be able to walk to restaurants and stuff. There are a lot more choices in downtown Waikiki than there used to be. We found the Hilton Garden Inn to be very good for us. It's not a waterfront hotel or a beachfront hotel. It's a couple blocks from the water. And it's only a couple blocks walk from my favorite place to eat dinner in downtown Honolulu, Chuck's Cellar, which of course is a spinoff from the old Chuck's of Hawaii restaurant that used to be in Sacramento at Town and Country Village many, many years ago. They still serve that incredibly wonderful food at Chuck's Cellar in downtown Waikiki. Other places that we dined at here that I thought were particularly good, I mentioned the luau at the King Kamehameha Hotel. I'm not a big guy on luaus in the islands. They're expensive. They tend to run $100 to $130, $140. It's entertainment and a buffet-style meal, which you know, sometimes is of moderate quality. I think if you're going to do a luau, the one at the King Kamehameha Hotel on the Big Island is done on historical grounds, so it has a little bit of authenticity to it. It's done by a company called Island Breeze, and they are generally younger performers, and they really do a great job. Also have a fire swallower at the end of the show, which was quite impressive. So if you want to do the touristy thing and do a luau, that would be my suggestion, is the one at the King Cam. A couple of other dining suggestions on the Big Island in Kailua Kona: the Fish Hopper, which is an old popular breakfast spot there, is also a great place for lunch and dinner. Price, it's not an inexpensive place, but we found the prices and the service to be excellent. It's not a place that I've frequented when past visits, but I dined 3 times in 3 days there this time. On Kauai, the Wrangler Steakhouse in Waimea is a great place to go for a burger during the day or a steak at night. The Plantation is a wonderful restaurant down in the Poipu area that is also a great place for dinner if you're looking for a place to dine. Things to do on the islands. On the Big Island, of course, check out Hawaiian Vanilla. That's a wonderful place. You can go and have lunch, do a tour, find out how vanilla is grown on the first commercial farm to grow vanilla in the United States. Ocean Rider Seahorse is a great place to visit on the Big Island. It's the only place that you can hold a seahorse, have it wrapped around your finger. Lydgate Farms is a great chocolate tour here on the island of Kauai. Those are really authentic things, the Seahorse, Hawaiian Vanilla, Lydgate Farms chocolate tour. And finally, here on the island of Kauai, I strongly recommend the fixed wing flight seeing with Wings Over Kauai. They do not use helicopters. They use fixed wing aircraft, which have been proven, Thomas, to be quite a bit safer than helicopters. And I think I might have made it in our time frame we had available.
Well, there you go. All righty, more on the Travel Guys coming up. It's the House Sitters. You're going to love this. You're going to say, gee, I wish I would have thought of that. It's next here on the Travel Guys.
Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys on KFBK. Again, our website is travelguysradio.com, and links to our super interesting guests can be found there anytime you want to go check it out. Mark,
super interesting. Boy, no pressure here.
Yeah, absolutely. We're traveling across the pond once again for another interview.
From time to time on our program, we find people who are just roaming around the planet. It might be the country or the state, or in this case, it really is the planet. This is Brittany and her partner are house sitters. They are traveling house sitters. Tom, it's striking me that maybe we should have pursued this as a way to make a living instead of this radio show. Because she says she's house set all over the world, including New Zealand, Australia, Italy, France, Montenegro, Malaysia, Thailand. Her and her partner, she was telling us before the interview started, are currently in 2 different places. She joins us from Australia. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thanks for having us, guys. I'm all the way down here in Australia, Melbourne.
Brittany, how did you get started in this? What was that moment when you says, you know, let's house sit all over the world?
I think we got started. We were living in London a few years ago, and we had a friend who was house sitting, and we just loved the concept. We'd kind of been away from our homes for a few years and hadn't really had any interaction with animals. So we'd head down the park with her, take a dog for a walk. But then we kind of looked a bit more into it and we realized it was just assignments all around the world. So when we moved over to Dublin from London, we realized how expensive rent was. It was almost triple the price of London. So we ended up looking into house sitting a bit more seriously there. And we ended up landing a few 2 to 3 month house sits. And then it just kind of, we've just kept going since then.
So do you have, obviously in Australia, is this where you are now? Is this your home base, so to speak?
Yeah. So I'm from Australia and Jay's from New Zealand. So my parents live here, so I have a few bits and pieces here, so it's a bit of a home base, but I've been back since November, and I've just been house sitting the whole time.
Now, Brittany, you mentioned something about animals. Are you generally house sitting places where people have pets and they need you to house sit the house, keep an eye on the pets, or do you sometimes just house sit the house?
We've always looked after pets. So where I am at the moment, I have a gorgeous little cat. And so he's just sitting on my lap at the moment. And the last house I was at, I had a 14-year-old Groodle. So all she kind of required was a quick walk around the block each morning, and she'd just sit by my feet while I work. So I usually use animals. There are a lot of people who just want someone in the house to keep it safe, but we haven't had any of those assignments yet.
Is there a charge for this? I mean, tell me just give me an idea of how it works.
So we don't charge anything. I think it is common practice in the US to charge, but at the moment we just feel like the exchange that we get is enough for us.
That's what it says on your website, but I almost found that kind of hard to believe. How long have you and Jay been doing this?
We've been doing it for 3 years, but we own our own business, so, and we both work remotely, so it kind of worked well for us because we usually try and book in a month, at least a month at a time. And we just work from home, which a lot of homeowners like, because a lot of times homeowners also like work from home or they're retired and they like to have someone around the animals all day. So they kind of like that full-time care that we give.
You know, Chris Elliott, he could get in on this because he travels all over the world. He works basically on his computer from wherever he might be. But usually he likes rents a house or an Airbnb. He'd just throw in a little of pet sitting.
We're referring, Brittany, to one of our regular guests on the program here who is a consumer advocate and who travels the country. Currently is now over in Europe with his three teenage children. And what he does is, I think he's mostly Airbnb, but we should get him into house sitting.
Oh, no, that would create extra competition.
Definitely.
For Brittany and Jaden. They don't need that.
So, Brittany, give us some idea. You said here that you thought our listeners might be interested in some of our experiences on the road or maybe some tips on getting started house sitting and traveling more. So in the couple minutes we have left here, give the folks that are listening a little bit of a sales pitch for what it is that you have decided to do for, I would say for a living, but almost for a staying.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Well, I just think house sitting, it also gives you a really good deep dive into a culture. We spent 2 months in France, and when we got there, we had 2 nights with the homeowners before they left. So they showed us their favorite wineries, their favorite bakeries, and they introduced us to all their friends. So you just really get a really good idea of a place when you live there for that long. And then we spent 2 months in Greece, so just outside of Athens on a little coastal town, a bit like had a Greek island feel. And we actually had a month in Rome, so that kind of allowed, just having that extra time in a place allows you to really explore and not rush from place to place. But getting started, if people are looking getting started in house sitting, what I'd suggest is look at holidays. Easter's coming up and there's so many people heading away, and you might find that when you are getting started, you don't have any references. So these kind of busier periods is great times to lock in some more house sits. But me and Jay have put together lots of tips about getting started house sitting. So if you want to head over to our website, we have a whole bunch of information there because all of our friends and family are always asking us about getting started.
And we will have a link to Brittany and Jaden's website there, the Traveling House Sitters. Are you licensed and bonded? Did it cost you anything to get this going?
No, well, with the platforms that we use, you pay for those, but we find that some of them are probably $50 a year, and once you've spent one night in Rome in a beautiful inner-city apartment, kind of these payments, like, you know, pay themselves back.
Well, and we'll put a link to the website of the organization that you belong to. You were kind enough to provide me with that, and a link to your website, thetravelinghousesitters.com. Brittany, in case there's somebody listening here who says, and I have to believe that there is, who's saying, wow, this is what a great idea.
You don't need to stay in Airbnbs.
Yeah, well, and the deal is you're talking to us in Northern California here, where in San Francisco rents anywhere near the Bay Area rents are ridiculous, and that has started to carry over.
Oh, I've heard.
To the Sacramento area, because of course as the rents get more ridiculous there, more and more people are fleeing, and you would say, well, gosh, Sacramento is 90 miles from San Francisco. That would be a long way to drive to work every day, but thousands of people are doing it, so, or taking the train, etc. So what you've done here is a very creative and, dare I say, up to the minute, a way to be able to, because of the fact that you work from your home, you are able to work from anyone's home. So congratulations on what I think is a wonderful idea. It sounds like you guys are literally on top of the world.
Traveling around the world. We're heading to Mexico next. So I'll meet Jay in the Caribbean because he's on the catamaran, and then we'll head up to Mexico house sitting.
Outstanding.
We might be heading up to San Francisco, so we might have to check out what the house sitting scene's like there.
I think when you get...
there's a lot of people with animals that like to go away, so...
Well, we would love to keep up with you on a regular basis, so when we get a couple months, 3 months down the road, or you get someplace fun or interesting that you would like to share with your California friends, why, drop me a note and we'll have you back on the Travel Guys.
Definitely. And we're heading to Colombia, so we'd love to tell you guys how house sitting's down there as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Please do. And we'll keep a link to your website up on our website so that our listeners can find out about house sitting and where our house sitting friends might be.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Thank you, Brittany. What a fascinating gig. You know, you got to be quite the adventurer to, you know, be willing to take care of somebody's pets, travel yeah. to other places of the world, and stay for extended period of times. You know, I mean, that takes a lot of chutzpah.
I wonder if anybody has ever thought about, you know, hiring a house sitter, going on vacation, and leaving the children behind with the house sitter. No, that's probably not not legal to do. Doesn't it seem, Tom, that she has an incredible passion for what she's doing? I mean, it's just house sitting, but she makes it sound like an adventure. I mean, I guess it is a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. Maybe we're doing the wrong thing here. Ditch the radio gig and the travel gig and go sit for people housewise. So we have at travelguysradio.com not only a link to Brittany's website, which is actually a really good website, and really explains a little bit more if you've found her interview to be fascinating. And then there are interviews to a couple of other affiliated house-sitting type websites. So if we've sparked a little interest there and you think, wow, this might be something that I might have an interest in, heck, maybe you only do it once or twice. Maybe you do it domestically. But anyway, there's some information there for you. So, Tom, what's coming up next?
Okay, we ran across another great interview, thanks to our friend Alan Rommelfinger, who handles promotions for some of the Travel Channel, which, by the way, is owned by Discovery Channel. They're kind of the same, and I mix them up a lot. But on the Travel Channel, and I thought this would be right up your alley. Unfortunately, you were in Hawaii when I got a chance to do this interview. Haunting in the Heartland. Very interesting guy. Very interesting series. It first share airing was this past Friday, but it's going to be every Friday, 7 o'clock, on the Travel Channel, and we'll talk with Steve Shippey. He's the host. That's next here on the Travel Guys.
I'm leaving on a jet plane.
Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and from time to time, we'll find out about new shows that are showing up on the Travel Channel on our local PBS, and as a result, we get an opportunity to talk to the host. The new series is called Haunting in the Heartland. And the host of the show is a guy named Steve Shippey. Steve had grown up in a situation where he had a little hauntings and at one point felt that perhaps he was alone, that this was, you know, pretty weird. But then he found out that he wasn't. So, Steve Shippey, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Steve, tell us about your experiences as a child and what brought you to doing the program Haunting in the Heartland for the Travel Channel.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, the journey for me in the paranormal began when the childhood home that I grew up in was a very, very active location, truly haunted, experienced the gamut of different activities in that house, disembodied voices, knocks, seeing shadowy figures, things of that nature, and then eventually got to the point where there was physical attack, scratching, pushing, and luckily at that point, my parents decided, you know, it's time to get you out of this environment and decided to move despite the fact that they were heavily invested in the home.
From that point on, when and how did you realize that this was more common than most people realize?
Well, you know, I guess later on in life, getting into being an actual paranormal investigator and studying the field, you know, it's actually pretty amazing how common this stuff is. I mean, how many different people are experiencing activity in their homes. And, you know, as the field becomes less taboo to talk about, you know, going back to growing up in my house, I mean, you know, my parents didn't even really want us to talk about what was happening in the home, because back then that was a very taboo subject, to say the least. And, you know, so at that point, you realize that as time develops, you realize how many people are actually experiencing it. And I think that's what's truly amazing at this point.
At what point did you start investigating and then filming some of the paranormal activities? I understand that people contacted you because they knew that you knew a lot about this and wanted you to help investigate. And I'm guessing the purpose was to investigate it, make contact, if at all possible, with the spirits, and to either resolve their issues or make them go away. Is that basically what it's about?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's about. I mean, you know, I have directed and produced 10 full-length paranormal investigation documentaries. They are available on Amazon Prime. And as a result of that, you know, kind of developing that grassroots following. A lot of people reach out to me for help or suggestions or asking if we can come investigate their home. And that's definitely what they're looking for, is to find out what's happening, what are they going through, and what can they do about it.
So on the Travel Channel's Haunting in the Heartland, tell me a little bit about the format of the episodes.
Sure. Well, we take a very much a documentary style approach to these episodes. We come into town, boots on the ground, we canvass the community, speak to all the eyewitnesses, interview everybody we possibly can, especially the families that are most affected. And then we try to figure out what is causing this haunting. One thing that's really unique about Haunting in the Heartland is we're not just focused on one home or one building or residence, but actually entire communities that are affected by paranormal activity. Once we've pretty much determined what we think it is, what type of a haunting it is, whether it's a residual phenomenon, intelligent, inhuman, or poltergeist, we then know how we want to go about investigating it. And then we go in and lock ourselves in the locations and attempt to catch evidence.
Now, Steve, we noticed that here again, this is Haunting in the Heartland. Is there a reason why there is there more paranormal activity in homes in those regions than other places that you've discovered?
You know, I would say there's a few different reasons for that. I mean, you know, when the production company contacted me and said that a major network had interest in getting me my own show, that they truly enjoyed my style of investigating that they had seen through my films, they said that they wanted to have me continue doing what I do, but take me out to a broader region of the Midwest, because that's where I'm from. And I speak the language of the people of the Heartland. So that's where I feel most comfortable. And as far as you asking about the type of activity, is it different in the Heartland? I really think it is. And it's definitely one of the least explored or investigated, I should say, regions of the country. You know, the East Coast is saturated with paranormal investigation and definitely some of the most iconic cases. But the folklore and the tales of these hauntings in the Heartland are pretty fascinating stuff.
Steve Shippey is our guest here on The Travel Guys. His new series on the Travel Channel is Haunting in the Heartland, and it premiered for the first time on Friday, February 25th. And does it run every week, Steve?
Yes, every Friday.
Every Friday. Steve, on a slightly different subject, I noticed in your bio here that you've been a rapper for 15 years. National recording artists, has charted over 100 times alone. I'm guessing, in fact, I ran across, you actually have a song that's called Paranormal, and your stage name is Prozac. Tell me just a little bit about that.
I've been signed to a record label out of Kansas City, Missouri, the biggest independent record label in the country, Strange Music. Spent the last 15, 16 years touring the country. And what's kind of a cool thing about that is, you know, being on tour so much, every time we get to a city where I have a haunted location on my bucket list, I'll jump in a cab or rent a vehicle and shoot off over there and kind of kill with one stone. So it's kind of weird. It's a weird thing, but to me, they've always gone hand in hand, the two different careers in some way.
Well, here's a little instrumental over my phone, which is really going to sound crappy, of Prozac, Steve Shippey, the song called Paranormal, which has questionable lyrics. So we won't offend anybody, but it has that. It has that unearthly track to it. Is a lot of your music got this kind of scary stuff going on?
Well, you know, if you want to know something really interesting about that instrumental that you're playing right there, that sound is actually a recording of a door closing on its own from one of my investigations. My producer looped it and used it in the music.
Oh, that's amazing. That makes it even more interesting. We're going to have a link to all of Steve's stuff at travelguysradio.com. It will include a link to his music as well as, you know, all of the different links to the Discovery. I don't know why I want to call it the Discovery Channel. It's the Travel Channel. Well, how many episodes did you get all together done that we can look forward to?
We got 6 episodes total.
Is this something you should not watch alone?
You know, if you're asking me, I would urge people to watch it alone. I think it'll put you a little bit more into the feel and the perspective of the lens and what we're seeing through our eyes.
Last question, Steve. Has the haunting of Steve Shippey, Prozac, come to an end?
Well, I mean, as far as the activity that I experienced when I was a child?
Yeah.
No. Luckily for us, it never did follow us. It ended as soon as we moved from that location. But, you know, needless to say, it left me with more questions than answers. And I guess that's pretty much what launched me into this journey.
Steve, thank you so much for spending some time with us here at the Travel Guys. You on the Travel Channel. Good luck with the program. I'll be looking forward to catching it on Fridays, okay?
All right, thank you.
What a diversified gig that guy has. I mean, he's a ghost hunter. He's a rapper. My goodness, he's got a lot going on.
You know, you had a ghost hunter guy that in Nevada, and he also had another gig. He was a stand-up comedian. I don't know if it just goes with the territory and these kind of dual jobs. Very interesting, though. Fascinating.
Tom, I have a quick note here to just share with folks came across during the week. If you get to your destination and you have baggage that is damaged, keep in mind that airlines have, in some cases, a very limited window for you to report that damage if you are expecting them to be responsible for it. Southwest Airlines, you have to report any damage within 4 hours of arrival. American, Delta, United, it's 24 hours for domestic flights and 7 days for international flights. But nonetheless, always best if you have some damage to your bag and you're concerned about it to report it before you leave the airport. Either that or take some pictures and get on the phone or online immediately to do that. Just wanted to mention that as a last-minute travel tip for our listeners.
No, I wish I would have known about that. I got a bad wheel on my wife's luggage, and it's only a two-wheeler, right?
Yeah.
And we discovered it when we got to Vegas.
So I got even worse news for you.
Yeah.
Airlines will probably say handles, straps, wheels, things like that, and not so much response.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. Versus the time my daughter's bag got run over by the luggage cart, and they give her a new bag when it was all
set.
Yeah,
well, there you go.
Well, all right, so that's just about wrapping up another version of the Travel Guys. Don't forget, folks, go to travelguysradio.com. There you can get our podcasts of the show. And don't forget also that whenever you're traveling, maybe to Hawaii or whatever, any part of the world, you can always catch the Travel Guys on iHeartRadio.
You absolutely can. Remember to dance like nobody's watching, and we'll see you from the mainland next week.
Great. Stay well, my friends. See you next time.